I'm very glad to add some brief words to this important gathering in preparation for the Copenhagen Summit. And I would like to do so very much from within the context of the Catholic Christian tradition. Within Catholic teaching, as you will know, there is an unfolding reflection on the integrity of the vocation that every person receives from God by virtue of the gift of life. Pope Benedict has continued and developed this reflection, especially in sections of his encyclical letter in the Latin title Caritas in Veritate, which dealt with questions of the environment. In this letter, he uses a striking phrase to emphasize his fundamental point about the need for a constant effort to be made in achieving integral human development. In placing this development in the context of our concerns about the environment, he uses this phrase, "The book of nature is one and indivisible." This simple, striking phrase reminds us that in the concerns we're exploring today, we need a broad and holistic approach. Issues of world poverty cannot be separated from concerns for the environment as we know. Nor can we expect to separate our duties towards the environment from our duties towards the human person, neither in the beginnings nor the end of life. Do we not face some serious contradictions when in some matters we demean the human person, while in others we energetically seek to protect the environment? As the Pope says, the decisive issue is the overall moral tenor of our society. Other notable phrases are also used in this tradition of Catholic teaching. They find their origins, for example, in the work of Pope John Paul II and continue to be developed. He spoke about the need for ecological conversion, a way of acting which seeks to establish a truly human ecology. If I may quote his words, "At stake, there is not only a physical ecology that is concerned to safeguard the habitat of the various living beings, but also a human ecology, which makes the existence of all creatures more dignified by protecting the fundamental good of life in all its dimensions, and by preparing for future generations an environment more in conformity with the Creator's plan." This task of promoting a truly human ecology directly concerns our common good. That is, the good of every person without exception, and not simply the total good of all those actively involved in a project. So the construction of a truly human ecology is the work to which every one of us is committed, not least, for example, in our schools, where the ethos, the environment, or the ecology of human flourishing is so important. And it's made up of many different facets, including, of course, the spiritual dimension, which is so central to integral human development. A third point I would like to make from the Christian perspective is that ecological conversion also means recognizing the full significance of Christ. The flesh, assumed by the eternal Word of God in the Incarnation, is a participation in the entire created order. Pope John Paul stated that the incarnation of God the Son signifies the taking up into unity with God, not only of human nature, but in this human nature, in a sense, of everything that is flesh, the whole of humanity, the entire visible and material world. So, commitment to Christ means solidarity with both people and planet. And similarly, our union with Christ in prayer, and most of all in the Eucharist, becomes a source of energy, of new life for our effort as his disciples, as his hands and voice, in attempting to make real and visible that inner harmony and unity with which all has been created. In our celebration of the Eucharist, We give thanks for our created world and raise it to the Father in, through, and with Christ himself. As a consequence, we work not only for the relief of poverty, but also for the sustainability of the created world. And finally, a word about hope. We Christians try to live within the promise of the resurrection. Our hope then lies not in our ability to fix things now or to have insurance policies in case we fail to do so, but in the assurances given about the future in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Secular hope may lie in our own resourcefulness today in the face of an uncertain future. Christian hope lies in the certainty of the future in the face of an uncertain present. So it's vital to recall the shape of the hope we are given. In it, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The final working out of God's promise, made evident and irreversible in Christ, is the renewal of all things in him, not their vanishing into a distant heaven. The final fulfillment is the emergence of a new earth, not the disappearance of every notion of earth. Our belief in the final resurrection is our real hope for all that has been created. So the world is not a disposable asset for us to exploit, nor even to use with renewed care and responsibility. Somewhere, somehow, in God's plan, it has a far greater destiny, one that includes its radical transformation in God's good time. And this is the hope that can spur us on today. I sincerely thank Archbishop Rowan and all who have worked with him for this important initiative. This is real leadership, and it is entirely characteristic of him.
Thank you very much indeed, Vincent. I'd like to hold on to the idea of the integrity of creation as presented there as a focus for so much of our reflection. And what you've heard is a very lucid exposition of how within the Christian tradition these priorities emerge and are grounded. But we're here together, of course, because it's not only within the Christian tradition that these issues arise.